This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the second hour of the program. Phones are open for you. If you want to join us here, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We've been talking about global cryptocurrency, or specifically Bitcoin adoption. Of course, El Salvador, I think almost exactly a month ago, started their program to kind of mandate Bitcoin acceptance.
Well, the law said it was a mandate.
The law says it's a mandate, but the president specifically said that it wasn't a mandate, that it wouldn't be enforced. Now, of course, that could change.
That's totally normal. That's fine. No problem could happen from that.
Well, obviously they can lie, and they can say one thing and then do another.
Then they can start doing something else years down the road.
The thing that the governments tend to do is they'll say, oh, well, you know, we'll pass the seatbelt law, but we won't enforce it unless we pull you over for something else, and then later they'll enforce it.
Then they change it to
first. Because
what's
the law,
even the point of that?
The law doesn't say only if we pull you over for something else. So at first they'll do that to appease the masses, and then later it'll be, oh, we'll pull you over because of it.
Well, in some states, it is a secondary offense, meaning they can't pull you over for it, but then they can take it at you when they do pull you over for something else.
Well, that has changed in a lot of states.
And in some states, it has been made into a primary offense. So, yeah, and your point is correct, Bonnie, that they can say one thing now, but the way the law is worded would allow them to completely change. Maybe this president leaves office and a different president comes in and he says, we're going to mandate Bitcoin for
everybody. And everybody's like, no, the last government or the last president said that he wouldn't do that, but it doesn't matter because that's what the law says.
The reality, though, of course, is that if there's massive disobedience, you can't mandate anything, right? Like, if you mandate the vaccine, but, you know, 50% of people just choose not to get it, you can't put them all in jail and all in camps.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pressure that governments, unfortunately, can put on people. But yeah,
well, there
you're right.
Is.
You're right. And unfortunately, most people are compliant. And you know, even if they're like, they don't agree with it, they're still compliant because it's like, well, what can I do about it? And
sure.
It's like, and well, if you want to do something about it, you need to be among other like-minded people, which is one of the reasons I'm in New Hampshire. So you can put up a resistance.
It's kind of funny, like in an age where anybody can have an income online, people act like just so easily gave away their bodily autonomy for the job they have right now. You know, not you can't work without getting it. You can't have the job you have now. Like, there are other places hiring. You can have online, you know, forms of income.
I have to say, I think the most like-minded, at least to me anyway, individuals are people who thought about these things before they took their first job. And they did. And I have to say, like, I get how hard it was because I almost didn't start a business, for example, out of college. And
When you say thought about these things, you mean thought about vaccine mandates? Because who would have thought that would happen?
Not about vaccine mandates specifically, but the fact that somebody will have something to hold over you the rest of your life, or at least your working life, right? If you go and work for somebody else, right? And that to me is a very depressing thing, right?
That's probably one reason why you're an entrepreneur and you started your own thing.
I mean, when I did apply for a job to work for another company, sort of. And they offered me a job, let me put it that way, twice actually, and I turned it down. And the second time I turned it down was because it was sort of the pay and it sort of wasn't. So what I did was I basically let them give me the top number that they would offer me, and then I asked for a little bit more, and their top offer was really their top offer. And so I could have still gone back and been like, okay, I'll take what you said your top offer was. But I didn't. And one of the reasons.
And you're glad you didn't.
And I'm glad I didn't. And one of the reasons for it was because, you know, the little bit of extra money, you know, and I was offered a good amount. But the point is, at the end of the day, I'm effectively working for somebody else, you know, and
you're building their business.
Right. I'm building their business. And it's not, it'll benefit me a little bit here now in the immediate future, but it'll benefit me a lot more, especially when you know. And my other thought was, these guys don't know who I'm going to work for. I love what they're doing, but they don't know what they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I am not, you know, the position I'm going to have, I'm not going to be able to fix the problem anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I know I'm going to be out of a job probably in 8 months because they actually did
they're
pretty
gonna
well.
Run out of money.
They're going to run out, right, kind of. So, well, it was more complicated than that. But, yeah, I mean, basically, there was a situation that I knew I'd be getting myself into, mm-hmm. and it's like, at that point, at least the second time I was offered a job a couple years later, and I'm like...
What's the point? You're just spinning your wheels.
Right. And I'm thinking, you know, it'd be better off if I don't do that, and I actually did take a job working for somebody else, sort of, but it was a low-paid job that basically just gave me enough time to build up my own business and, you know, to stay afloat. And so I worked like 30 hours a week as opposed to like, you know, 40 hours, you know, maybe 40 hours a week if I'd gotten like a real job, so to speak. And, with decent pay. But as a result of that, you know, but some of the things that were going through my head was, you know, it's somebody else is going to have control over me effectively. Mm-hmm. And if I go this route and I keep going this route, you know, I'm never really going to be free or happy. I'm going to be in this kind of rut. And it's sort of just like with the government, and the government still has that kind of over me right now, but it's at yet another level. It's a level that I can avoid. And so that's why I kind of feel like the people who, you know, right from the get-go, you know, before, you know, they even knew about the Free State Project, people who were thinking like that, I think are the most like-minded to me, personally.
Sure. I mean, well, do you think that your viewpoint on this was learned somehow? Did your parents inculcate you with entrepreneurism? Or do you feel like you
definitely
were
not
sort of always natively not wanting to be controlled?
Always. I was from a very young age.
Me too.
Like,
me too.
I mean, from the time of my first memories, you know, 3-4 years old, definitely. Yeah, definitely asking lots of questions, definitely being, like, skeptical of, you know, different things. And it's like, I never stopped questioning, and it's like I would say I settled down maybe isn't quite right the right word, but I kind of backed off for probably most of my high school and college, and like I kind of went along to you know just in case, you know, but at the same time, at the end of the day, when it came to hit the pavement and on my own and, you know, make my own decisions, I made my own decisions and I made the right ones, as opposed to I may not have made the best decision. I mean, I probably did make the right decisions, but you could argue that I made the wrong decisions if you look back.
You have to,
after
you
the fact,
have to
right?
make the wrong decisions to know what you did, you know, to learn from your errors.
Yeah. Right. And
I
don't
do something right.
I don't necessarily think it was the wrong decision, like, say, to go to college. But, mm-hmm. like, if I had to do it all over again, it would have made more sense for me not to go to college, right?
Me too.
I don't necessarily think at the time that it was the wrong decision, in that I didn't know. Like, I didn't have, it's like, you know, you work so hard up to a certain point, and then it's like, well, you know, you got 4 years to figure it out. You know, it's like even, and yeah, I probably could have jumped ship and I could have, you know, done
well,
what
college
I want,
is propaganda.
But
I mean, there's heavy propaganda for this, and I think that's where people get really ruined by society and by the media and by the educational indoctrination system, because it's constantly hammered at young people that you've got to, in order to quote-unquote grow up, you've got to go through school, you've got to get a job, you've got to, you know, have a couple kids and retire. Yeah, that there's this preset path that everybody is supposed to go down. You're not supposed to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
There's no class in school to explain entrepreneurialism to people.
There are, but I'd be skeptical of those classes. I mean,
they weren't in my high school. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I don't know about my high school, but in college there were classes of that nature, kind of.
I took like a business class in my high school, but mm-hmm. it didn't actually like.
What
say,
did they
like,
teach you?
Oh, it didn't say anything like, oh, this is what you do to start like getting the licenses and everything to have a business. It was nothing like very practical. It was like.
Well, number one, don't ask for a license to start a business.
I've taken
ever.
A bunch of business classes. Actually, I think I took business classes in both high school and college. But yeah, I have to say, it's basically a joke. And I've gone through the real world, and none of that. And even when
have you ever had to write a business model?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But in real life?
No.
Exactly. I was like, I don't feel like I'll be, you know, if I'm starting my own business, why would I be, like, pitching it to someone else?
Yeah, I mean,
If you need investors, that's why you
If you're looking for investors, the problem is that, you know, in the real world, most people are not going to be going to investors, and you're certainly not going to be going to investors right off the bat when you first start a business.
Yeah. Also, I just thought he wasn't really, you know, the teacher wasn't really explaining in real terms what the heck any of this meant.
Like, did the teacher actually have experience at running a business, or were they just teaching out of a textbook?
No. Yeah, textbook. You know? It's always textbook.
603-283-6160. You can share your thoughts with us here. This is Free Talk.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yeah!
60. That's 603-280-6160. And I want to make sure you know about Intercoin. They can help any business and organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. Now, Intercoin.org has launched worldwide. Is there a token you want to launch or an app that you want to build? You can go to Intercoin.org, enter your email, and the team will get in touch and learn about your needs. While you're there, if you want, you can get some Intercoins for yourself. Head over to intercoin.org to get the Intercoin investor tokens available there. To intercoin.org. We're talking about cryptocurrency right now with El Salvador wrapping its first month of having Bitcoin as one of two legal tenders. Now, what is a legal tender? It's generally considered a form of money that is accepted for payments of debts, basically, like tax payments can be paid with legal tender.
They don't have their own. They just have the dollar.
They do not. They have just the dollar. And at one time, El Salvador did have their own peso or something like that, and they got rid of it about, I think, 15, 20 years ago.
Wasn't it like because of hyperinflation or something like that?
Probably. I don't know the whole monetary history down there.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but I do definitely know that some of the South American countries have had hyperinflation, and they that's the reason that they went to the U.S. dollar in the end.
Correct, yeah. So that wouldn't surprise me if that turned out to be the truth. But they adopted Bitcoin about a month ago, and so you were wondering aloud earlier, Chris, like, well, you know, what's been going on? Well, we haven't heard anything. Well, it's not to say there hasn't been news. We just haven't heard it. So I went and I pulled a few stories up here. One of them from Reuters, which, by the way, Reuters is highly tied in with, I think it was Pfizer. I think the executive CEO or something of Reuters is also on the board of directors at Pfizer, and they're tied in with the World Economic Forum. So, you know, just so you know where the reporting is coming from, they may not necessarily be entirely pro-Bitcoin, but here's the story. From El Salvador, El Zonte. A growing number of El Salvadorans have experimented with Bitcoin since the country became the first to adopt it as legal tender last month, with a couple of $1 million sent daily by migrants using the cryptocurrency. But only a fraction of the Central American nation's businesses have taken a Bitcoin payment, and technical problems have plagued the government's cryptocurrency app, frustrating even committed users of the technology. Construction worker Adalberto Galvez, age 32, says he had lost $220 while trying to withdraw cash from the Chivo digital wallet. And he's not alone. I've definitely heard some of these reports from users saying that they ordered a withdrawal and it's been days and days and they haven't gotten their money yet. And, you know, they don't know when they're going to get the cash out of it.
Well, that's totally fine when you're running a small business.
Yeah, it's totally not, especially if you're, like, right on the edge and can't pay your bills. Galvez, dozens of Salvadorans told Reuters that they had at least one problem with Chivo, named after the local word for good. I've heard it's the slang for cool. And few had used it on a daily basis. Quote, "It took my money, but gave me nothing," said Galvez, who had already been using Bitcoin successfully for months with another application at an experimental small-scale Bitcoin economy project dubbed Bitcoin Beach in the coastal town of El Zonte.
So they're being forced to use Chivo? They can't use something else to accept Bitcoin?
No, they're not being forced to use Chivo, as I understand it. Well, the businesses might be being forced to use Chivo.
I think they have to pay their taxes, I think, with that app, but they don't have to use that app to accept crypto. I think it's something like that.
Yeah, we need to find out the details on that. There's some sort of mandate on Chivo, but as far as you going to, like, McDonald's and buying something with Bitcoin, you don't have to use Chivo for that. You can use something else. However,
isn't it, like, I think it was, like, a mixed app, too. Like, I think it was more than just
Chivo does
crypto,
dollars,
right?
And Bitcoin.
Right, right. So ultimately, you, as a business, you would have to install it, but you wouldn't necessarily have to use that app for taking the crypto.
You might, though. That's the thing. As a business, you might have to use Chivo, but as a customer, you may not. This is something we need to look into to confirm.
Okay.
But Galvez said his funds had been taken from his Bitcoin Beach wallet, but he was never able to withdraw the cash via Chivo. He said he had not heard back after he filed complaints. Others have reported irregularities with transactions and attempts of stolen identity. President Nayib Bukele has blamed high demand for the issues Galvez and others have faced. And here's one of the key issues with what's going on in El Salvador. The Chivo wallet is a what they call lightning wallet. And I don't know if they're forcing all businesses to use lightning, but it wouldn't surprise me if they were. So, again, that's something else we need to confirm is what is being forced and what isn't. Because that's where the problems are coming in, is if you're using these centralized apps, you have to have like a centralized, you know, Lightning is a centralized system compared to Bitcoin. It uses what they call layer 2 technology, which is on top of the normal Bitcoin transaction network.
Because you send it to the Lightning network and the Lightning network sends it somewhere else, right?
It's hard to really explain Lightning. I don't want to claim to be an expert at it, but yeah, you do have to put Bitcoin into the Lightning network in order to use the Lightning network, and it's very confusing. And Chivo is being run as a centralized app, which is why they're complaining about demand. They're saying, oh, demand's too high. That's why these things aren't working. Well, that's not the way Bitcoin works. Where, you know, when you've got cryptocurrency, there's not just one wallet app. There's dozens of them. You can choose whichever one that you want to. And yeah, the Bitcoin network can get full of transactions, but that's not the problem that they're having in El Salvador. They chose a centralized server to handle all of their country's, you know, Bitcoin transactions through this Chivo app, and what do you know? It's not able to handle it.
Yeah,
so it makes Bitcoin look bad.
I'm not sure about the centralization of the Lightning network so much. I think there are different. They're not called nodes, but there's different like nodes.
There are different
and
nodes.
And you have to be on the same like node or something as somebody else that's doing it or something.
You're
or
a crypto guy and you can't explain it either.
I think it's sort of like there has to at least be a path. Along which
they're called channels, lightning channels.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't have all the right technical terms for lightning, but
nobody likes it here.
Yeah, it's I'm not like a fan.
I think Chris Reitman's the only person who actually likes lightning.
And so part of the problem is about like lightning. The lightning network is like it doesn't really work that well, but in theory, it might work if you do what they probably are doing in with the Chivo app. But the problem is that the servers are there's like one server that all the users of the Chivo app are connecting
to. Yeah.
So it ends up being overloaded. So thus the transactions are failing. So In theory, if they scale up those servers, then they will maybe solve that problem.
It's 1 month out. How come they haven't done that yet?
I don't know.
Government.
Technology, so Lightning's also newer, and the technology may not...
It's still being tested.
It may not be there. It may not be well-designed.
I think you're probably right. It's not ready for prime time.
Yeah, it's just not there. And it's like, how is it not there after all these years? And it kind of begs the question of, like, we've got solved this problem in other ways, better ways. And I'm not even saying they're great. They're kind of terrible ways, too. But
Bitcoin Cash is great.
It is.
It works because it was another not... It's not great either in some respects, but it's still better than this Lightning Network stuff.
Oh, yeah, way more. And there's almost no fees with Bitcoin Cash.
Yeah, from an end-user perspective, Bitcoin Cash works great.
There's more coming up here in moments. 603-283-6160. So the big mistake in El Salvador was mandating anything at all instead of just leaving.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. September's wage gains provided more fuel for the argument that the current pace of inflation could run longer than many economists anticipate. Average hourly earnings rose 0.6% for the month, making the year-over-average increase 4.6%. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the administration expects that inflation will be temporary.
We, of course, have seen and from outside experts, including the Federal Reserve, OECD, and others, that their expectation is that these inflation rises will be transitory, that they will come back down next year.
Republicans contend Americans are suffering due to inflation, which is due to the Democrats continuing to spend money on their agenda. The U.S. Postal Service says December 17th is the deadline to get letters, greeting cards, and small first-class packages sent in time for Christmas. USA Radio News. As a crisis on the U.S.-Mexico border continues, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken spoke with the President of Mexico on Friday, the two discussing a new security agreement and how to tackle a surge in migration. Secretary Blinken on why security is a priority.
Transnational criminal organizations continue to threaten communities throughout both of our countries. They're responsible for most of the illicit drugs and contraband trafficked into the United States, as well as into Mexico, and a great deal of violence and insecurity here as well.
Senators reached a short-term solution earlier this week on a bill that would raise the debt limit and keep the government funded into December. President Biden applauds the efforts to get an agreement on the debt limit done.
Thanks to bipartisan agreements, we're making progress on funding the government and raising the debt limit so people continue to get their Social Security checks, the military continues to get paid, and so much more.
USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. If you're down in El Salvador, and or you've been down in El Salvador over the last month, and you can clear up some of the questions that we have, because as I understand it, the law mandating Bitcoin as legal tender does say, and I've read the English translation of it, it definitely says that every merchant has to accept Bitcoin, but apparently they are carving out an exception for any merchants that don't have the technical capability. So if you have no phone or tablet at your business.
Does it say they're carving out an exception, like in law, or did it just say they're not enforcing
it? I think they're just not enforcing it.
Yeah, just the president.
That was the impression that I got, they're just not enforcing it.
Yeah, because it's going to look bad if they drag some 70-year-old guy, you know, selling burritos on the street corner. They drag him into a court and put him in a prison cell for not accepting Bitcoin.
There's gonna be a lot of people they would have to. I mean, I guess they could just make an example out of that one guy, which is usually what they
do. But they're not going to do that.
But right, like in NAS, they're not going to. It just doesn't make sense.
Younger people are going to have the technical ability. They are going to have the devices on hand. But older people,
you know, they're going to die off eventually, and then
especially the middle class in the country. You know, that's who this is probably going to impact the most, mm-hmm. and they're all probably supporting it. But the people who are, you know, not in the middle class, they're probably not supporting it because they don't have the internet connections and the phones and everything else. And so that, for them, is a problem.
Well, actually, the numbers on people with phones in El Salvador are very high.
That's interesting statistic.
I think it's more than one phone per person on average. I
mean, really?
It's like 1 point, if I recall, it's like 1.6 phones per person.
Even poor people in, like, yeah. I don't know, America have phones.
So they don't have bank accounts, but they've got
right.
phones.
So what's interesting about that is this is the impression that I had. Not everybody has a phone that will support it. So they may have older phones or they may not have smartphones. And not everybody, as I understand it, has internet. That's the other issue. That seems to be one of the major issues, is not having internet.
I kind of think that it won't be an issue, this whole they're not enforcing it now, but they could enforce it later. I think it won't be an issue because most people will maybe in the future want to accept crypto by themselves anyway.
You know, I think you're probably right. It probably doesn't even need an enforcement mechanism in the end, because people, as time moves on, the country will get wealthier. People will have data. They'll have internet. That stuff will get better. And, you know, because remember, even if you have a country with a lot of poor people, if you have a class that is moving up, you know, from lower, you know, maybe lower middle class to higher middle class,
everybody moves up.
Right. Then, well, I don't want to say everybody moves up, but there's more money being spent. And if there's more money being spent, because again, there's truth that if you're a higher income earner, you may not be spending as much money. But if you're a middle class, and really that's all they're going to be doing is moving from a lower class to a higher class, you're going to have more money being spent and more money being made. And thus the people who are less well off, they're going to be selling more burritos on the street. They're going to be, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you've got relative economic freedom compared to other areas of the world, you are going to see everyone moving up economically. I mean, like you pointed out, Bonnie, poor people in the United States have multiple phones and televisions and, you know, air conditioning and heating. And so, like,
that may be like a welfare thing, but.
But whatever, the poor person of today is far more wealthy in so many ways than even the richest person was 200 years ago.
I think this situation in El Salvador is so interesting. It's almost like, on the one hand, it's like we can criticize, you know, the president for doing, you know, what he's done, but at the same time, it's almost an ingenious means of getting the country out of poverty. But
it could be, for everyone who's held on to the Bitcoin that they, because I don't know if you knew this, but they gave away $30 worth of Bitcoin to everyone who opened up a wallet with the Chivo app. So even though the Chivo app's been kind of a nightmare and it hasn't really been very, you know, working very well, there's been a lot of bugs, in theory, they were giving, you know, taxpayer-funded, obviously, money.
Which is not what we support, but...
No, but it's an interesting experiment, nonetheless, seeing what happens. They gave $30 worth of Bitcoin to everybody who you know, opened up a wallet, and of course, now to do that, you have to go through a know-your-customer process, you have to show ID, and there's a whole, you know, hoop-jumping thing to do that. But then the price of Bitcoin took a dive, like, immediately. Like the day after or the day of whatever El Salvador did this a month ago, the price went down like several thousand
but
dollars.
But now it's went up way more but than now it started.
Correct. It's up now more. So if you held on to the $30 worth of Bitcoin, you now have like $31 or $32 worth, whereas a lot of people probably panicked and sold the $30 because it was like $25 worth. And they're like, oh, no, I better sell. So
first lesson.
Yeah, it was their first. Yeah,
what,
exactly.
What I suspect will probably happen, if that money, if that cryptocurrency stays in the country more or less, mm-hmm. or some substantial portion, in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, I suspect that the amount of money in people's pockets starts to go up.
People are going
to
get wealthier.
And it's going to get, it's going to make the country wealthier. And in time, maybe in the next 5 to 10 years, you'll see El Salvador, maybe even, you know, moving from a impoverished country into something that is one of the wealthier countries.
It may be the wealthiest country in South America in short order.
It could. Now, the question is, I don't know what the numbers are in terms of what that means, that the amount of money that was distributed by the government, mm-hmm. but $30 per person is a lot of money in a poor country like that.
6 million people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it seems not unlikely that that could have a substantial a positive impact on the country over the course of time if you know, things continue to go the way they've been going with cryptocurrencies.
All I know is the U.S. government never gave me any crypto.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, right. going on here from Reuters, which is their, you know, critical article saying that there's been some problems. They blamed high demand on the issues that the app, the government-approved crypto app called Jibo, has been having, and no spokespeople were available to comment from the president's office or Jibo. By some measures, adoption in the poor country where one-fifth of families depend on remittances has been rapid. Bukele, the president, has said 3 million people have downloaded Jibo, some 500,000 more than they initially targeted, and roughly half of the country's population. In September, he said the wallet had 2.1 million active users. Now, that could just simply mean that somebody downloaded the wallet, got their free $30 worth of Bitcoin, went to their nearest Jibo ATM, and withdrew $30 in cash. So we don't know how many, you know, what portion of the 2.1 million are continuing to use the Jibo wallet, whereas others wanted to take the Jibo $30 worth of Bitcoin and move it from the Jibo wallet into a non-custodial wallet, a wallet in which they are in control of their keys, because Chivo's a custodial wallet. If Jibo wants to turn off your access, that they can do it. And so apparently what they learned was, when they were experimenting with this, was that if you got the Jibo wallet free Bitcoin, you had to send it to another Jibo wallet address first, and then you could withdraw it from the Jibo system into a normal Bitcoin wallet.
Weird.
Interesting. So there was like a restriction on it, but it is possible to get the Bitcoin out.
But only that $30, right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Well, no, you could, if you had more than that, like if you'd received payments, you could
just
transfer
it right out.
Yeah.
But not with the extra stuff.
Not with the first $30.
Now, you know, the other aspect of this I think that is interesting is that I suspect the people who will be holding onto that crypto are not the people at the bottom, and it's going to be more of the middle class that holds onto it.
Right.
That's my gut. And what's interesting about that is it potentially could lift people out of poverty, but the way it does it is probably going to be indirectly, which is very interesting, I think, because it's again, at the end of the day, somebody gives you $30, you know, and you're super poor, you're going to spend it, right? You're going to spend it on food.
Yeah.
But the people who are in the middle class, and I'm not saying there's a huge middle class in this country, in El Salvador, but those who are in the middle class and hold it are the ones who are ultimately, or accept it and hold it, and, you know, even more so, will become super wealthy.
1 month since its launch, 12% of consumers have used the cryptocurrency, according to the Salvadoran Foundation for Economic and Social Development. Quote, since yesterday, this is the president tweeting recently, since yesterday, Salvadorans are inserting more cash to buy Bitcoin than what they are withdrawing from the Jibo wallet ATMs.
Ooh, that's really good.
So he claims. This is very surprising so early in the game. So that suggests that if he's telling the truth, and he's a politician, so
liars,
no reason to believe him, but if he's telling the truth, then that means that El Salvadorans are seeing the potential value for Bitcoin, and they are going and they're making purchases at these various different ATMs. So it's interesting. We'll continue.
Kind of makes me want to invest in El Salvador.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come in a wide variety of uses, apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork and Line Tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork and Line Tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork and Line Tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
Blue Star medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Of course, you can bring up what you want here. Number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Chris.
And we're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. And the number again, 603-283-6160. We're talking about El Salvador and kind of looking back at the last month. What's the media saying? What are they reporting about the rollout of Bitcoin as the official, one of two official legal tenders there in El Salvador? And we've got our critiques here of how this was handled. And I think the main critique from this show is that it was mandated, that people should not have been mandated, businesses should not have been mandated to accept Bitcoin. But that is what happened. And so there's some interesting numbers here that are being shared by some of the economic, various different analysts there in El Salvador. The Salvadoran Foundation for Economic and Social Development finding that 12% of consumers have used Bitcoin in the month since it launched as legal tender.
Wait, only 12% of
12% of consumers, oh. Consumers have used, which presumably would be everyone.
I mean, it's interesting because if everybody has $30 that they're being potentially made available to them, only 12% of them are taking them up on that.
It's not clear whether or not they're saying that 12% have taken the freebie.
Yeah.
They may be talking about 12% spending.
Yeah, but he's saying the other percent is, holding on, maybe.
We don't know. It's not clear. It just says 12% of consumers have, quote, used the cryptocurrency.
Plus,
what does that mean?
Is that only data from Chivo, or because there might be people using other wallets?
No, that's not Chivo. That's the Foundation for Economic and Social Development. So presumably they did a poll. They did a survey of El Salvadorans and asked them. But we can continue with that story coming up here in moments. In fact, I think Scott, who's calling us from New Hampshire, he said, actually told me he just arrived in New Hampshire. So congratulations on that, Scott.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome to the Shire.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I think you said you had some input on El Salvador. Have you been there?
I have not been there. I've been paying very close attention to every piece of data I can find about what's going on, and the majority of what I can tell you comes from the interview with the president that you guys might have seen.
I don't know if I have. When was this interview conducted?
It was really popular on YouTube. A real popular Bitcoin guy was doing it. I didn't want to throw names out there.
Well, I mean, that's the only way someone would be able
it's
to find
the internet,
it.
So, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, go right ahead.
Well, I think I'm not 100% sure because I don't usually watch his show, but I think the name of his channel is called What Bitcoin Did.
Hmm. Okay.
I've heard of that.
I have not heard of it.
I know Jeff Berwick. Jeff Berwick, the dollar vigilante, he went down there, and he's real involved with a lot of the stuff. But he's also promoting selling the development, so he's kind of maybe biased. But anyways, you had a question. I forgot what it was.
The question was about business owners. Are they being mandated to use the government Chivo Bitcoin wallet, or can they use any wallet to accept Bitcoin payments?
Yeah, they can use any wallet. The beautiful thing about the government wallet, or at least to me, the one thing that I heard him say that I thought, wow, that's really fantastic. And this kind of goes back to early on when I was using Coinbase, and I had somebody else that was using Coinbase. I sent them some money through Coinbase.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that it was instant and free. I was like, well, okay, so that's one point for centralized transactions, unfortunately. But anyways, same thing. When you are on the government app down there, according to what the president said, it's practically instant or instant, I don't know, and it's free. So
right,
that's
because it's, like you said, that's because it's centralized. And so it's just whatever the corporation behind the Chivo wallet is just moving Bitcoin from one spreadsheet location to another spreadsheet location. So it ultimately is there's no real work being done. There's no cryptographic security. There's nothing.
Right.
It's not real Bitcoin. Yep. I think that's the important thing to remind people of. If you're dealing with centralized app, this Chivo or any other Lightning app.
I was going to say, is that just a Chivo issue or is that the Lightning Network issue?
It's, well, I can't speak.
It's Chivo because it's the nodes that Chivo is connecting them to.
Go ahead, Scott.
There is the centralized database, like as you mentioned, it's free and instant. But the Lightning Network is going to be an intermediary that they would settle up on after they've already done a lot of their spreadsheet, changing the numbers on the spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever, like, I don't know, 24-hour period or whatever, they decide to do Lightning transactions, or maybe once every half. Who knows how often they might do a Lightning transaction. I mean, they wouldn't have to do a Lightning transaction at all. I mean, mm-hmm. if you bought a crap load of Bitcoin with the government money, from what I understand. So
yeah, so if you were going to withdraw from the Chivo app to another Lightning app, there would be a Lightning transaction there, presumably. Whereas if you're going to withdraw to a regular Bitcoin wallet, then you would have to pay the regular Bitcoin fees. But then you would have control over your Bitcoin for the first time, because the people that are using these government wallets, yeah, it might be easy if the wallet's working, but they can shut you down. If they decide they want to freeze your wallet, they can just do that.
You know, what's interesting is, it just occurs to me, this is a hosted app, so it's sort of like logging into an exchange. There's no crypto going on really that's being transferred outside of the app effectively, unless you're sending it to another Lightning wallet.
Or a
outside,
Bitcoin address.
That's not
or a normal Bitcoin address.
Or yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't think, as long as you're doing Chivo to Chivo, I don't think you even need to use, I don't think the Lightning Network would be involved at all, as far as I know.
It sounds like, I understand how this is probably working, it doesn't sound like a real crypto wallet in the first place, but it will allow you to interact with real crypto wallets.
In theory, yeah, from what we've heard.
Yeah, that's why, and that's the reason why people are having trouble sending it from the Chivo wallet to a third-party Lightning wallet-supported wallet. It's because that connection is not working, but the app itself is working to receive crypto and like send it from one wallet to another.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I mean,
one Chivo wallet.
They were admitting that there were issues with their system because of, you know, too much demand. So it could very well be that it's just grinding to a halt completely.
You're right. It might be that the app itself is kind of failing.
What have you heard about that, Scott, as far as the failures of Chivo? Have they been able to scale it up in the last month, or is it still being problematic for people?
All I can just speculate that regardless of what problems there are, or the reasons for any problems that there are, the most politically correct response of them to, or the best thing they could say is that there was too much demand.
Mm-hmm.
That would be their best, you know, response. So I wouldn't
because it's a hosted wallet.
Anything other than that.
Yeah, and it makes sense when you start talking about hosted wallets, because you still, that is a central piece. It's not
a central point of failure.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's funny. It's like, it's not that cryptocurrency or Bitcoin or Lightning Network is not decentralized. It's that the app itself is centralized, that everybody is
using. Which is what you'd expect from a government.
Right,
hey,
right.
Scott, so you say you just arrived in New Hampshire. Where'd you come from? And why'd you come here?
Oklahoma. I came here just to meet up with you guys.
Oh, right on. Awesome. So wait, you didn't make the move? You're just visiting?
Well, I've got 55 cars in Oklahoma, so I have multiple homesteads. Developing a homestead here, it sounds like a really great idea.
Are you in Keene?
No, I arrived at the address that I had for you guys, which is apparently a mailing address. It's a UPS office I found out once I arrived.
Well, if you're in Keene, there's going to be a nightcap tonight.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Let me just see where I am, because I
11:59 at night every Friday night. There's an event called Nightcap in Central Square in downtown Keene, New Hampshire. It's been going on since mid-March this year, and it happened 36 weeks in a row last year as basically a protest against the governor's so-called stay-at-home recommendation or order or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Mandate.
And, of course, if you're coming to visit New Hampshire, you always want to check the calendar out. There's a calendar that the Free State Project kind of takes care of, and I've got a quick link that anybody can jot down. It's calendar.shiresociety.com. That'll show you the Free State Project calendar, which has the Keene stuff going on, and stuff in Manchester and the Seacoast and the North Country. So there's always like multiple things every single day. You were looking at it the other night, Bonnie.
Yeah.
There's a lot there, isn't there?
Yes, Scott,
feel free to email me, chris@thinkpenguin.com, if you need to hook up with people and such. We're always happy to get people hooked up.
You can get them in the Matrix.
Yeah, we can get you in some Matrix rooms.
And,
very good.
It's about an hour from Keene, so if you want to come out tonight, figure, you know.
Scott, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. Congrats on coming to New Hampshire, even if it's just to check out the lay of the land and meet people. It's a great, great experience. And good time of the year to be here because, you know, it is the leaves. They are changing out.
The weather is so nice right now. Like,
yeah.
It's extra nice.
It's not too cold. Not yet.
Yeah, it's not too cold yet. It's awesome.
Yeah, but the leaves are changing and they're looking very nice. All right, so more coming up here. 603-283-6160. We got a little bit more about El Salvador and the last month. And then you're...
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.